Hello and welcome to Matt and Jerry's podcast of their radio show. These are the only bits that we thought were probably worth listening to again. There were some other bits that were okay, but these are probably the best bits that we've got. Matt and Jerry, it is of course Cyber Bully Monday. You can text us your best bully now on 3483 or you can tweet it to Crywink. You can also bully us directly to our ear holes on 0800 Hauraki as well.
Here's the carryover section. If Bill English is the double dipper from Dipton, then Matt Heath is the double douchebag of Dunedin, and Jeremy is the punishing power bottom of Ponsonby.
Hipsters have ruined fashion and beards. Baby boomers have destroyed the property market. Now you two meat sacks have killed breakfast radio.
I will skip this next one. Might as well skip this next
one. I'll read it. Starlight Macintosh didn't exist until Butch Arsgrab snuck into Matt's. I actually thought it was something else for a second. Starlight Macintosh didn't exist until Butch Arsgrab snuck into Matt's bum late one night.
No. It's barn. I grew up in a barn on a farm.
Said into Matt's bum.
This person knows a lot about me. They know the name of my childhood friend before I was four and that I lived in a barn out the back of my parents' farm.
I think
farm.
It's a typo. I think it's meant to be bum.
What Butch Arsgrab...
snuck into your bum.
You're going to get stung for that, buddy. You're going to get stung for that. Like the morbidly obese Egyptian woman, you two bag of dick. Oh.
We can't get stung for these, remember? We've said we're exempt. We're reading out other people's stuff.
Yeah, it's not really our fault, is it?
No.
Okay. Like the morbidly obese Egyptian woman, you two bag of downstairs operations need to be cleaned out with a good dose of salmonella.
Devin from Christchurch called up with this.
I would rather have Starlight Macintosh who feed me a Jim Hickey cum burger whilst listening to Matt Heath's 2004 Wonder of a Song about doing number one and put up with the back of a length punishment you two wagons put your listening through most mornings. So, from all of us here at Eating Media Lunch.
It's a high level operation from Devin.
Back of the length punishment. You wagged.
That's very good. That's very good.
All right, let's go to the challenges.
Okay, remember, if an earthquake is long or strong, get gone. Same applies for the Hauraki breakfast. If you hear two coos wounding punishing muptards, turn the radio dial to Rima.
Hearing your show first thing in the morning is a not-so-polite reminder I forgot to drown myself in the shower this morning. From Sam in Wellington. Thanks, Sam.
Jeremy Wells had imaginary friends as a kid. They were real people. Jeremy just imagined they were his friends.
That's good. Let's go to the phones.
Matt and Jerry should be replaced by Starlight Macintosh and Butch Arsgrave. I imagine the show would finally be decent.
Oh, that's a good point. The
Agenda. Later, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner and Stinky Old Man responds to internet death rumours. Soon, arrests made at Christmas in the park despite no one being there. But now, Joseph Parker brushes off fight criticism.
Joseph Parker has brushed off a backlash against his majority decision victory over Andy Ruiz Jr. to become World Heavyweight Champion on Saturday night. New Zealand Professional Boxing Association President Lance Revel said Mexican Ruiz Jr. was robbed and the result made him embarrassed to be a New Zealander. Parker, 24, was given the decision after 12 rounds, with one judge scoring it 114-114, and the other two 115-113. Revel, by contrast, scored it 118-111. That was in favour of Ruiz Jr.
118-111. So what's going on here? I mean, what is up with boxing? Someone can get it 118-111. Imagine if you finished a game of rugby and you had three scorers and one of them was so wildly different from the other ones.
Well, but you know what happens every single time. I mean, that's always by one or two. Yeah. Are you really telling me that...
After all those punches?
Yeah, are you really telling me that?
It's a vibe thing. It's like gymnastics. It's a vibe thing. And the vibe can be influenced by the fact you've got 10,000 Joseph Parker fans in the stadium, potentially.
Oh, and the other big thing is who's paying the bill?
Yeah.
So who's paying you? Because obviously, Duco pay the judges. So, at that point, they think, do I want to do another one of these events or do I not want to do another one of these events? I mean, that guy that scored at 114-114, I'd like to know how he goes next time.
Well, what I don't understand, and look, there's this, we're just talking out of our asses here. We don't know. There's no allegations. I mean, whatever. We're just saying that you pay for $60 to watch a fight and at the end of it you go, I don't really know what's going on. But that's the history of boxing across the board. But what I don't understand, if boxing, right, why don't you have... You hire, so let's say it's 12 rounds, so you hire four people all watching on slow-mo, and the first person is watching the first round, and scoring it, going through frame by frame. And then they go through to the fourth round, and so they've got plenty of time to score it. And at the end, you might just have to have about another 5-6 minutes while they go through and score it. Maybe there's two people there. There's a guy operating the machine and someone that's a boxing expert, and they just go through and they go, yes, that's a punch. That counts. That's an aggressive punch. That's, you know, they go through and actually score it like an actual competition.
Well, that would make it proper, though. Then you'd get a result, the proper result. That's not what you're after here. As you've pointed out before, it's a promotion. It's about making money.
Well, that's the thing. It's called a promotion.
Yeah, it's about making money. It's not about the actual sport itself. I'd love to get a camera and some microphones in on the actual judges and just after the bout's finished, right? Yeah. What happens after, you know how there's all that time? Yeah. What happens after the bout's finished and then before they announce the result, like, there must be so much back. It must be like when Billings was trying to get the numbers to become the National Party leader. Like the stuff that's going on behind the scenes at that point.
Well, yeah.
Fascinating.
Exactly.
I find it really interesting.
Yeah, it's massively interesting.
I find it really interesting. I think that's why people do love boxing. Because, yeah, sure, you know it's completely dodgy. But at the same time, that's just kind of how it is. That's just boxing. But it's still interesting.
And it'll be interesting to go back to round three and see the notes of a judge scoring it and then go through slow motion and say, how did you score this? Exactly. And do it again, you know?
Yeah.
Do it again.
It's the Fact Factor.
75 times the Fact Factor. Here's the topic this morning. Egyptian Iman Ahmed Abd El Arti is believed to be the world's heaviest woman. She's about to leave her home for the first time in 2 decades, fly to India for weight reduction surgery. So this morning, Matt, and the Fact Factor, I'd like one fat fact, one lady fact, and one Egyptian fact. Please, are you capable of that?
Absolutely. 500 kgs, that's heavy, eh? Yeah, it's freaking heavy.
That is very, very heavy.
I mean, you've never got up that high. I mean, what are you, 100 and...
Currently 96.
Have you ever got so fat you've had to be craned out of a house and put on a plane to India?
Never quite got that far, no.
No.
No, how about you?
Neither. Got close, but never actually had to have the crane out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they've got to open up your roof and bring a crane in.
That's when you start looking at life and going, maybe I need to make some changes.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go on the blood sugar diet. Maybe look up Mr. Atkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think as well for a guy.
Jenny Craig.
There's generally telltale signs, and it's got to do with looking down, isn't it? And if you can't see what you're looking down at that point, you know you've got some issues.
Well, I don't think this woman would be able to see what she's looking down at, would she?
No, I don't think she's been seeing what she was looking down at since the 80s.
All right, okay. I'm ready to go.
Right, are you capable? Are you capable of one fat fact, one lady fact, and one Egyptian fact?
I'm absolutely capable and ready to go. Let's do it.
All right, what is your first fat fact?
In weight loss, 84% of the fat that is lost turns into carbon dioxide and leaves the body through the lungs.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
I guess that's a good... I guess it does.
Yeah.
Because you burn it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, it gets not stored as fat. I don't know actually what happened.
Nah, because it's... Okay, so it's... Fat is stored energy, right?
Yeah.
And then when you burn that energy, when your body burns it, it actually burns it.
Right.
And then it comes out your...
Comes out your lungs as carbon dioxide.
Comes out your lung.
Oh, what a fact. Great fact, Matt.
Great fact.
What's your next fact?
I'll do the admin here, thanks very much.
In 2011, a Swedish woman... found her wedding ring on a carrot growing in her backyard 16 years after misplacing it.
Fact, you Heath. That's fact.
Didn't like the vibe of that one.
I'm invoking my right to a lifeline. 0800-HOWRAKI. One caller decides whether that fact was good or bad.
Yes, so the fact being, in 2011, a Swedish woman found her wedding ring on a carrot growing in her backyard 16 years after misplacing it.
Good morning, Brad.
Hi, fellas.
Got a bad fact. Brad?
I think that was more of a gardening fact, so...
I agree.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
It had a bad vibe to it as well, Brad, I thought. Just wasn't...
Yeah.
It was slightly sexist.
Didn't sit right.
You got to be very careful with these. So you don't want any sexist or racist facts in there. Thanks, Brad. I appreciate you backing me up there. One good, one bad fact, Matt. careful with the vibe as well. What's your third and final Egyptian fact?
An Egyptian, ancient Egyptian workmen who dug the pharaoh's tombs weren't slaves. Not only did they get paid and housed, they got paid sick leave and were given beers at the end of the working day, according to 3,000-year-old records.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Again, the vibe. Just didn't like the vibe of that one. Ever since you started doing my admin for me, I just got a bad vibe from the rest of those facts for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It's not the vibe factor, Jerry. It's the fact factor.
Yeah, but I just got a bad vibe. I mean, I'm not doubting that that's a fact. I'm just didn't feel very good to me, so you haven't got the fact factor today. This one was really good, actually. Started off really well. I was feeling really good about that. And it just went downhill.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Holdecky Breakfast.
You might remember Sprout Around Scotty from the Sprout Around Scotty Sprout Around report.
Well, I do. Of course,
do you remember?
Of course I do.
Well, he's there. There he is, right there.
I've known Scotty. Oh, what was that?
I'm meant to do this.
There it is.
Sprout Around Scotty.
Yeah, of course I know Sprout Around Scotty. I think I've known Sprout Around Scotty for longer than you.
No.
Yeah, I have.
No.
I
know him from when he was on tour with the General, setting him up in the old...
That's right.
That's when I first met you. Remember you took the General out on the road and he was dressed up as a spaceman and he was...
A Leaks promo, wasn't it?
And it went forever and you...
It did.
Bungee jumping every day.
I pretty much had to inflate this giant inflatable spaceman / look after the General.
How was that? How was the
cooking
looking
breakfast,
after the,
get him up.
Not easy looking after the General.
Well, because I was quite new back from overseas at that time and Matt had asked, he's like, what is it like with the General on the road? And, oh, it's really good. And it's like, come on, mate. What's it really like?
A giant inflatable General. Giant inflatable spaceman.
Jeez.
You've moved on from spraying it around the mountains and inflating the General to appearing on television on a dating show tonight at 8:30.
I've really on a low-level bottom feeder these days, guys. Things haven't been going so well since the spread around Snow Report ramped up, so I thought, why not go on a dating show to really boost this profile?
Look, I thought you had a lot. I mean, they don't call you Spray It Round Scotty for nothing. I mean, you sprayed it round the slopes, you sprayed it round R-Pray situations. Was that not enough spray for you, Scotty?
Spray, Jerry? It's just, I just thought that maybe this is an opportunity to...
find some love.
To find love.
I'll find that special girl.
I mean,
that's right.
For people that haven't seen Sprout Round Scotty, he's a very good looking man. Very, very good looking man. Very handsome.
Dangerously
handsome. Well groomed.
Looks great.
Smells great. Always smells great.
Appears on his Tinder profile holding a dog. I mean, that's the kind of man he is.
Yeah. You know? With a turtleneck.
Yeah, it's not his dog.
No.
So, Scotty, you're on First Dates NZ tonight, 8:30 on TV Toe. What can you tell us about the process of the first? Because I've been watching First Dates. It's a really good show.
Yeah,
it's set at the Sky Tower.
Yeah, and one of the restaurants in Sky City.
Yes.
It was a bit of an unusual process. I wasn't really looking to go on anything like this, and a friend kind of put me up for it. I think I'd been complaining about my woman's situation for some time now, and he just really got sick of me talking about not really going on any dates or anything like that, and filled out the application and got on the show. And it was. I mean, if you have seen the show, you see that it is quite awkward sometimes. But
so, what's the basic premise?
Yeah, right. Wow.
Two people go on a date.
Yeah,
and they arrive, and they've never obviously blind date. They've never met each other. But the interesting thing about the show is there's about five people per show.
There's about four or five people going
five
on a date.
Five dates going on at the same time, and it cuts between all the dates that are happening. Now, some are awkward, some are not awkward, but it's a clever show because obviously they filmed it. All the dates are not occurring in one night. But you get the vibe that you're going around a restaurant listening in on conversations that are happening.
Any LGBT community dates?
Oh, yeah. There's always an LGBT factor in each show.
You'd have to have an LGBT date in there.
They're often the interesting ones because they get smashed.
Yeah.
They get smashed.
What flavour date were you on?
You're on the T, were you?
I was on
from the LGB and the T.
Yeah, I was the T. Easily.
Well, you're in a standard heterosexual situation, Scotty.
Very much standard heterosexual situation, Jerry.
And what can you...
Did you bring good chat?
Yeah.
Did she bring good chat?
Yes, she did, actually. Because, I mean, on these things, you don't really know what you're going to get, do you?
And did you get hosed? Did you get on the steam? Did you get a heater steamer?
Yeah, it's fair to say. She enjoyed her wine, and so I started off on the beers.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, let's move to the Reds. Yeah. So we, you know, we moved to the Reds and...
And then did you move back to your house? Or is that...
Well, I guess you can't.
Well, no, you can't. You can't. I can't.
What about those sprout rounds, Scotty? What about if... What about... could you tell me? Because, you know, at the end, it's always like, who's going to pay the bill?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that you have to pay that bill, because why the hell would you go on a dating show that you had to pay the bill? That doesn't seem right.
Well, even things... They must reimburse I got paid you. For it, but I didn't get paid for it.
What?
But I didn't expect to get paid for it either.
What?
And yeah. Ben, you had to pay the bill? Or yeah. Did you go Dutch on it?
No. Why would you mug yourself off on national television and not pay for a meal?
You can't go halves.
You cannot go halves. You would
potentially...
You've got to go halves on it.
Oh, God, man.
You'd have to go
thing
halves
is,
on it.
If you're
well,
single...
it's sexist not to. And man. More expensive.
Man.
It's both sexist and more expensive. That's why the Dutch are such an innovative society with the Dutch rudders and the going Dutch.
That's why you ended up with Butch Arscrack. That reason right there. Right there. So you paid, Scotty.
I certainly did, Jerry.
See, Scotty's an old world kind of sort of Cary Grant kind of handsome kind of operator, isn't he?
Cary Grant.
Such a good looking man, Scotty. I mean, so, TV2 tonight, Scotty, 8:30.
Yeah.
First
date. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I've seen...
Are you a bit worried?
Nah. The thing is with these things, like, I guess you go on these sorts of things expecting that you might get a bit of flack. Yeah. I know my friends have organised a viewing party.
Yeah.
This evening.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to hear about it for the next 6 months, but I'm prepared for that.
Okay, so I can't wait to see it. First Dates NZ, 8:30, TV2.
The Agenda.
Later arrest made at Christmas in the park because there wasn't very many people there so the cops could see the kids drinking. Soon, Joseph Parker brushes off fight criticism. Can I say that again? Soon, Joseph Parker brushes off fight criticism and Kevin Barry brushes his hair completely from the back to the front. But now Hugh Hefner responds to internet death rumours.
Hugh Hefner has insisted he is not dead.
Oh.
The 90-year-old responded to
internet
rumours that quickly spread over the weekend that he had died. He hasn't been seen in public since May, and last month his ex-girlfriend Kendra Wilkinson Basket admitted she worries about his health every day.
I've heard that the Playboy Mansion has become dangerously depressing and smells like old man wee now.
Yeah.
It smells like old man wee.
It is old.
Yeah.
The Playboy Mansion now.
And he's getting on a bit at 90.
Have you seen photos of him recently? He's looking okay for 90. Like, 90's pretty old.
Has he had any work done?
I actually don't reckon he's had a lot of work done. No, and I think that's kind of helped him. If he has had work done, it's been very subtle.
It's sort of a weird thing, isn't it? Because he was the definition of who everyone arguably wanted to be, living the dream of a man. But now it just seems a little bit walking around with your sort of nightgown on.
Well, that's the great thing, is that he's been wearing that. He's been wearing the robe.
The robe. What is that?
The kimono.
It's a sleeping gown?
It's a kimono. He's been wearing that kimono for so long now that he's dangerously ill and old, he's wearing the kimono and it's seamless. I mean, that's genius piece of work from him.
So he started dressing as an old invalid man, like, way back in his late 20s, and he's just kept going. And now he's finally growing into being that urine-stained old man.
Yeah, he loves watching old movies now.
Mm-hmm.
So he just hangs out. He's 90. He watches some old movies. Not a lot of action going on anymore, because he used to boast about his action, of course, back when he was in his mid-80s.
Yeah.
Do you remember Girls of the Playboy Mansion, that reality series? What the interesting thing about that was, you never ever saw him dancing for a long period of time in a full-length shot.
No.
Did you ever notice that?
You could just see the top of the velvet rope.
Yep.
And then him sort of going this weird kind of wobble with his hands in the air.
Because then if you ever saw his legs, it was a humiliating dance manoeuvre.
And a lot of his ex-lovers, because he goes through them and they all look exactly the same, Playboy Bunny style blonde girls, have come out and said he was horrible in the sack. Terrible, like just an absolute massive disappointment.
Really?
And running a minute operation and just there was nothing going on.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know he was running a minute operation, nothing going on.
Well, strange, a lot of bitter tell-all tale books. Threw that in there to try and sell it in a few extra copies.
Well, that's probably what's happening there.
Hey, Jerry, up next, though, I'd like to go through the list of the top 5 sexiest not dead people. This is the middle of the Matt and Jerry podcast, which
means... It's not, actually, it's not the middle.
Well, close enough to the middle.
Yeah, but it's not the actual middle.
Okay. You are a certain ways through the Matt and Jerry podcast. There's still some great stuff to come, so listen to the end. And
the rest of it's not very good either.
Okay. All right.
So waste of time, that's a little bit here.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just shut up then, shall I? Jesus Christ.
So in light of Playboy founder Hugh Hefner announcing yesterday that he isn't dead, you've handed me a list of your top five not dead people.
Yeah. You ready for it?
Yeah, well, I am ready for it. I've got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Number five.
Keith Richards.
Yeah, he's not actually that old, but he looks it due to all the smack, booze and crack he had over the years. I mean, his face is a mess. He looks like he's about 95, but no, Keith Richards, guitarist from the Rolling Stones, he's still alive. And there's been a lot of teetotalers out there that have died before 72 that are just... they're just really, really pissed off at Keith Richards right now, you know?
Amazingly, he's looked like he's about 86 for about 30 years.
He went in about 1984, he suddenly jumped up about 30 years in age.
Yep.
And he's just sort of grown on from there. Looks terrible. Terrible.
Okay, here on this list.
Number four.
Sir David Attenborough.
Yeah, he's 90, the botanist and a nature doc voiceover legend. Bow-legged as hell. I mean, if you look at the way, if they ever do a wide shot now on him, his legs are... he looks like he's just got off a horse.
Yeah, he hobbles along like an old puffin.
Mm-mm, but he's got lots of hair. He's got lots of hair. It's sticking up. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely not dead because I've bought tickets to his performance here next year.
That doesn't mean that he's not dead.
Really?
No.
Well, they're not gonna just going to, you're not going to like troop.
Did you buy them off him?
No.
Doesn't mean he's
not
dead.
It's a fraud.
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
Number three.
It says Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
What? Who's that?
You remember that TV show Murder, She Wrote from the 80s?
Yeah, she was the rust on the roof, damp down below.
Mm. Well, remember that was she was the dangerously old lady who starred in Murder, She Wrote in the mid-80s. And she's not dead. In fact, she's still acting.
Really?
You would have given every dollar in your bank account to say that Angela Lansbury would be dead. But she's not, she's 92. Massive Miss Marple's ripoff, but still going.
Okay, number two here.
Number two.
Gandalf.
Yeah, Gandalf. He's not dead. He was fighting the Balrog on the Bridge of Moria just after going, "You stole our bats!" And then, of course, the tail nipped up and dragged him in, and he said, "Run, you fools!" And then all the little people cried and cried and cried. The hobbits were crying in slow motion with no sound. But apparently, if you see the second movie, which I haven't, apparently... he didn't die.
Oh, massive spoiler alert.
Mm. Jesus. In fact, he's 2019 years old.
That's a massive spoiler. All those people that haven't seen Lord of the Rings are just waiting to watch it at some point.
Well, I found it a bit ripped off to find out because I got quite upset that he was dead and apparently he just changes his cloak.
Hey, don't.
And he comes back in a fresh cloak and then he's all good to go again.
You've just ruined it for thousands of people. Okay. They're just waiting and hanging out.
All right. Okay.
Number one.
Most important not dead person, I guess, is that what you call this?
Mm-hmm.
John Key.
Yeah, he's 55, he's not dead, he's just retired. And Bill English is the new PM, but John Key, not dead.
Scotty J. Stevenson on Sport.
A monster jam by Blake Griffin.
Sport.
The comeback is complete. America's Cup will stay in America.
And Sport.
Good morning, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson.
Let's get straight into the controversy around the Parker fight, Scotty J. Stevenson. This needs to be addressed. Massive controversy. The thing everyone's talking about, and it's Kevin Barry's hair. What is happening
Kevin
here?
Kevin Barry's hair. Look, let's be honest. It's just an extraordinary stylistic expression of Kevin Barry's personality. The entire lid... brushed forward from the base of the neck and the whole way it has just been perfectly brushed, almost as if to say, I know everyone on the planet does it the other way, but I'm an individual.
The other thing Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson must be asked is, what product is Kevin Barry running in the hair? Because it always seems to be moist. And is that product Has that product dripped its way down onto his face? Because that's the other thing, is his face tends to be dangerously moist as well. And I've got one final question for you, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevens, on that same issue. Is that product that's coming from his hair dripping down his face, is that the reason why he's dangerously red? Because that's reacting with the sun's rays and giving him a massive burn on his face.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bottling plant in Vegas and it's just bottling Joseph Parker's sweat that is then just sprayed liberally into the hair, which then drips down the face. And we all know, Jerry, to your last point, that usually when you're sweating, you're red. Mm-hmm. Perhaps Kevin Barry is reacting to the Joseph Parker sweat hair product. And this is why we are seeing this visage that we've become accustomed to.
Some overseas boxing commentators have suggested that the whole Kevin Barry look is just a massive distraction, because Andy Ruiz Jr., he won the first three to four rounds quite easily, but then he was sort of losing his position a little bit, and Joseph Parker got back into the fight a little bit, and it kind of looked like Ruiz was looking over at Joseph Parker's corner, and he was either it was either Martin Sneddon's fringe or Kevin Barry's hair, kind of right from the very base of his neck forward, that was distracting Andy Ruiz.
I think there was also a hint that Craig Stanaway was giving him the stink eye at the time, and you know, no one wants that. Look, I wouldn't have been surprised if Ruiz was distracted by Kevin Barry's hair. And I mean, this is something that other heavyweights in this division are going to have to come up against as well.
You know,
you can talk all you like about the jab, about ring position, yeah, but one glimpse of Kevin Barry's hair with the Joe Parker sweat solution in it, and I tell you what, you could be your night over. It could be your hopes and dreams crushed.
Oh, well, that's also why I believe he's been running a sunbed the way he has, and so he's dangerously red. And that way, it's essentially like a stoplight that's just flashing in the corner. And so when you're boxing, if you've got a red flashing light with a bizarre haircut, you only need that tiny little bit of distraction. You're not thinking about boxing. Next thing you know, you've lost the bout.
Well, look at Don King. I mean, for years, Don King was operating that straight up in the air shock of hair.
It's a distraction.
It's a massive distraction.
I mean, look at birds. Look at what birds do.
Don King had the goodness never to be ringside. He wouldn't be in the corner. He was no corner man, Don King. He was a promoter. So, you know, there's arguably no one really had to be distracted by Don King's hair during the fight, unlike all of those now coming up against Joseph Parker, who have to be distracted by...
But you'd see that hair walking past the foot, like, would just go past. You just see like a troll, like a 90s troll doll.
Yeah, but I would say this, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson, and Matt as well, I'm directing this to you as well. The amount of moisture that's coming out of the hair, out of the face of Kevin Barry, if he's allowed in the ring at any time, he can drop his neck down, drop his chin, and he can let some of that moisture drip down onto the canvas. And that can easily provide, and if Joseph Parker moves away from it but directs Andy Ruiz into that, he can easily slip.
So you're saying that part of the Joe Parker strategy from here on is put the other guy on the wet spot?
Mm-hmm, and then it's almost like having a banana skin underneath your foot.
Well, people would have noticed the state of the ref in that fight. He was soaking wet all over. His shirt was completely wet, and he was wearing a pair of gloves. And there's two theories on that. Either A, he thought they looked cool in a Michael Jackson sort of style, or B, they were sort of protective gloves like a policeman would wear picking up a drunk person off the road. But he was so wet. He was so wet. And people thought that was coming off the boxer, but it was actually just a residual sweat flying off Kevin Barry's face.
Thanks a lot, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
I tell you what, Jerry, I'm very excited about Rogue One that's coming out this week, the new Star Wars movie. Being a massive Star Wars fan, except for the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. Those are the only Star Wars movies I don't like. Hey, the best TV series of the year has ended now. This one, you hear? Westworld. And the thing about Westworld is it was coming out every week, rather than the normal binge-watching situation.
Mm.
So now people that haven't watched it should binge-watch it. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't actually. I just got onto The Crown over the weekend. I'm six deep in The Crown.
Well, once you've finished with The Crown, get onto Westworld.
I got Black Mirror lined up next.
Oh, Black Mirror's bloody good as well. But once you finish with The Crown and Black Mirror, get onto Westworld.
I've got House of Cards lined up after Black Mirror and The Crown.
Which House of Cards?
The last season. I'm going to rewatch that. And then also I've got The Sopranos as well. I think there's six
You haven't watched The Sopranos?
No, I have. I've watched it five times, but I'm going for a sixth round.
Go all through The Sopranos before you watch Westworld. What about if you say that you're going to watch The Wire before you get to Westworld, then no.
I've got to watch The Wire, actually, because I sort of dipped out in the last... I kept falling asleep in the last season.
I tell you what, if you want a show that has more twists and turns than a plate of spaghetti bolognese, then you want to watch Westworld.
Has it got more meat?
It's very meaty.
More meat than a bolognese.
It's got more meat and sex than a spaghetti bolognese.
More cheese than a spaghetti bolognese?
There's not much cheese in it, actually.
Okay.
It's pretty cheese-free, actually.
Well, that's probably quite good.
But although they do say these violent delights have violent ends. Saying that, that's probably the closest to a cheese. Actually, it does have a bit of cheese because some of the storylines for the robots are willfully cheesy within the park.
Well, I think you need a little bit of Parmesan cheese on the top, don't you? Just a fraction.
Jeez, I made a bolognese last night for my kids, and I put about half a block of 1 kg tasty on top of the bolognese to cover up some crimes I'd committed with the mince halfway through.
What crimes did you commit with the mince?
Well,
overherb it?
I was playing.
Did you overherb?
I was playing Gears of War 4 online, and then I burnt the mince till it was pretty much little black charcoal balls.
I've watched you. You can't do one thing at a. You can't just do one thing. You get bored. So it's the same as this radio show. You pick up something, you're on something else, you're having a look on your computer, doing something else. It's like you can't just focus in on one thing.
Hey, Drew, we should give away some Black Caps tickets here, thanks to
the driving force behind the Black Caps. You can't focus in on listening to me talk to you. The judges have made the decisions. And now it's time for the Hauraki Breakfast Weekly Cyber Bully Awards Ceremony.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Congeniality.
If Bill English is the double dipper from Dipton, then Matt Heath is the double douchebag of Dunedin and Jeremy is the punishing power bottom of Ponsonby.
And please welcome our runner-up.
I would rather have Starlight McIntosh hoof feed me a Jim Hickey Cumburger whilst listening to Matt Heath's 2004 Wounder of a Song about doing number ones and put up with the back of a length punishment you two Wagners put your listeners through most mornings. So, from all of us here at Eating Media Lunch.
That was good.
And the winner of Cyber Bully Monday.
I tried illegal live streaming Matt and Jerry's show, but no one watched it.
I tried illegally live streaming Matt and Jeremy's show, but no one watched it. You are this morning's winner of Cyber Bully Monday. Congratulations.
Should we confront our troll?
Let's.
Our bullier. Have you watched Black Mirror yet? Oh, you were talking about that before.
No, that's on my list. I'm doing The Crown first, and I'm going to do Black Mirror.
Episode 2, Season 3.
Great name for a show.
Talking about trolling.
Great name for a show.
Yeah.
I reckon this person's gone to work.
Well, I think, also, as we say, before we come up as unavailable for some reason, blocked number, so people think it's the Inland Revenue Department.
So do you think this person's done some fraud?
I don't know. We'll leave a message anyway.
At the tone, record your message.
Hey, it's Matt and Jerry from the Hauraki Breakfast here. Your cyber bully, I tried illegal live streaming Matt and Jerry's show, but no one watched it, is today's champion. You've won the Cyber Bully prize pack, and you're a great New Zealander. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for listening to the Matt and Jerry podcast. I know it wasn't easy. And look, if you want your money back, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to PO Box 1945 Christchurch, and they should be able to sort that out in around about 15 working days.